Well, I am happy that you are here today. We've got a good number with us, and I hope that the beginning of the school year has gone well. You survived the triple-digit days. The forecast is showing a little bit cooler weather in front of us this week. So let's keep praying for rain and asking for God to provide that. But I'm glad that you're here today. We are at the end of August. Whew. I know. This month has felt like a year. Well, we need to read something before we go to our Father in prayer this morning. And it's found in Mark chapter 12. Found in Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, 28. One of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" And Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" And they marveled at him. The scribe said to him, "You're right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, there is no other besides him, and to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared him ask any questions. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we look at Jesus, as we study the scriptures together, I ask that you open our eyes, that you open our hearts. I pray, Lord, that when we encounter truth, that we will not deny it to prop up our own thoughts and ideas and beliefs. But I pray that when we encounter truth, that we will be the ones that come away changed. Help us to see. Help us to understand. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to see why this is such a radical idea this morning. We've been going through and we've been taking a look. And again, remember the big question. The big question is Jesus God? Or who is Jesus exactly? And we're trying to get a better understanding of that. It's going to take a while. This is a big question. This is a big question. It's a big question that you and I have to face. And it's a big question that those around us are asking and having to face as well. And I thought it was very important this morning. We've been in John chapter 5 and we've been looking at the witnesses that stand up and testify for the identity of Jesus Christ. And the second witness, we saw last week, we saw the witness of John, and we saw what John said about Jesus and what he pointed to. And then the next one, Jesus said, "Yeah, but there's something more important than John's testimony, and that is the works that I do." So turn over to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 36. "But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me." All right, so Jesus says, look, he's made some great claims. He has claimed to be the Son of God. And he has pointed to John and said, "Hey, John knew. John pointed to me. But take a look at what I'm doing. Take a look at the works." And he says two things about those works. He says that the works that I am doing, they are given to him by the Father himself. You want to know about God? You claim to know about God? Well, I got to tell you something. Everything that I do is given to me by God. I'm not down here with my own agenda. This is not my game plan. He sent me and he gave me these works to do. So what we see, well, in essence, what Jesus is saying to everyone who will listen or look, he says, look at me. Look at what I do. Because I am doing the things that God does. Now, again, I know my audience, I know who I'm talking to, but we take it for granted. We take it for granted in the form of you and I just assume, well, we're Christians and we know the truth and we know the Bible and we know the gospel. And so whatever we do just has to be right. Right? No, not right. Not right. Now, our job as Christians is to make sure that what we do is what he would do. Just like Jesus did. Our job is not to say, well, we have his name, so whatever we do must be fine. No, we have his name, so whatever we do must be from him. That's how we have to look at things. Now, a couple things on these works. The Greek word for these works that Jesus uses, ergon, E-R-G-O-N, ergon. These are just deeds, things you would do, okay? Now, the things that Jesus did in his life in the flesh and in his ministry, they included several different kinds of works. Some of those would be the miracles that he performed. So when you see the English word miracle, most of the time it's coming from the Greek word dunamis, D-U-N-A-M-I-S. And that is an act, a work, or a deed that is backed up by the power of God. Okay? That's the miracle. Dunamis. It's dynamic. Boom. It's an explosion. Okay? Then he also was asked for, and he did show some signs. Signs are semeion. S-E-M-E-I-O-N. S-E-M-E-I-O-N. So we've got the ergon, the works that Jesus does. We've got the dunamis, the miracles that Jesus does. And we have the semeion, the signs that Jesus performs. And Jesus brings all of these together and he says, everything that I do, that's from God. Okay? So look at my life. Look at it. Inspect it. Look at the evidence. Look at the evidence. Now, it's important to keep this in context. John chapter 5. This whole conversation of Jesus leading everyone who would listen to believe that he actually is the Son of God, this all comes from the fact that Jesus healed somebody. Now, what was special about the healing in John chapter 5? Do you remember? Yeah, he healed on the Sabbath. He healed on the Sabbath. Now, that is going to lead us, and church, this is really where we're going, because this is an important lesson for you and I to hear. Not only to trust and believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but also to direct our lives and our steps. So Jesus heals this guy on the Sabbath, and this guy starts walking around. They're like, hey, what's going on? What happened here? And he goes, this guy healed me. Well, that can't be good. It's the Sabbath. You can't heal on the Sabbath, right? You can't do that. And Jesus says, back in verse 17, Jesus answered to them, my Father is working until now, and I am working. Now, we're going to get into all the I am statements of Jesus and that connection of him and his divinity and his deity and his nature. But Jesus is making the claim that, look, I'm working. I am working the very works of God, and now is your time to experience those works. All right, so we got to deal with this, because this was an argument of how can you be from God if you're breaking God's rule? That's the main question. His enemies, his detractors are like, how can we trust? You say that you're from God. You say that God's your Father. Well, God, you know, we follow God too. And God says the Sabbath? No, we don't work on the Sabbath. And here you are working on the Sabbath. What gives? How do we correlate these things? Now, you and I don't have this exact scenario, but again, a lot of times we look at and we judge other people and we see what they're doing and we say, well, I know how God does things and I know what God says about things, and I look at you and I don't see the same things, so you must not be from God. Right? Well, Jesus has got a lesson in store for all of us. He's got a lesson in store for all of us. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Here it is. Do you prefer a theological slap to the face or a punch to the gut? What do you like? One that sticks with you. I like, that's not right. Theological punch to the gut. That's what we get here in Matthew chapter 12. And this is a big one. All right. This is one of those where you and I are going to walk away going, I may need to be a better kind of Christian. I may need to look a little different to look like Jesus. In Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 1. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and eat. The Pharisees saw it, and they said, hey, look, your disciples are not doing what is lawful to do on the Sabbath. And he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the bread of presence, which it was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Okay. All right, so Jesus says, the Son of Man, me, I am Lord of the Sabbath. It's my day. I am master. It's mine. It's mine. And so he points to a historical story that they would know. And he says, hey, look, when David was hungry, he and his guys were going around. There was no food to be found. And they went into the very, very inside of the temple and they took the bread of presence and they ate it because they were hungry. The bread of presence, that's what God provides. And they got in there and they scarfed it down. And in fact, he says, the priests who serve in the temple, they profane the Sabbath. They break the Lord's day and the rule of you can rest and no work to be done. Guess what? I mean, if you want to make a loose correlation, I'm the worst Sabbath breaker there is. I work every Sunday. It's the Lord's day, right? I mean, in a couple weeks, it's a football game and it's a nap. Just give me a food coma and leave me alone. I don't want to do anything. And some of us will, you know, get out and do some yard work or, you know, get in and do some housework. But this is a day of worship. This is a day of rest. This is the Lord's day. I profane it every Sunday. It's just a work day for me. So what? Does that mean that I'm not doing what the Lord wants me to do? Jesus says, no. No, that's not it. Here's what God says. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Now, he doesn't say, hey, just show mercy to everybody and don't do the sacrifices. He is saying, look at God's heart. What does God really care about? God cares about how you treat other people more than your own religion. What? God cares more about how you treat other people than your religion. And church, that's the sticking point. And that's the part that you and I get tripped up on. Because I got to do everything right, and I got to do everything perfect, and I got to get it all down. I don't have time for you. I got churching to do. I don't have the energy to help you. I got resting to do. I don't have anything left for any of you because I belong to the Lord. And Jesus says, you missed it. You missed it. God cares about how you and I treat other people. A lot. A lot. And so he continues in verse 9. He went on from there. He entered their synagogue. A man was there with a withered hand. They asked him, so, okay, you're going to pick grains. You're going to feed yourself, you and your buddies. So is it breaking the law to heal on the Sabbath? They're trying to accuse him. And so in verse 11, he said to them, so, hey, which one of you, if you had a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? You're walking along on the Sabbath. You're not doing any work. You're not, you know, doing the switch. You're not showing animals, right? You're just walking along with your sheep. Your sheep's walking. Your sheep falls in a hole. Oh, well, it's the Sabbath. Sorry about your sheep. No. Jesus said you would help your sheep. You would get that down in there. You'd pick that sheep up. You'd lift it up and get it back on the ground. You'd go about your business. You know this naturally. And so then he makes his point and he says, verse 12, of how much more value is a man than a sheep? And here it is. So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Jesus says to them, because they had taken the Sabbath and said, oh, no, I can't help you. Hey, can you help me out? Because I gotta get this fridge out of my living room. Nope, it's the Lord's Day. I don't work on the Lord's Day. That person broke down on the side of the road. But I got to get to worship services. Maybe some heathen will have the time to stop and help them. Seriously! That's what he is talking about. No, I can't help them. I don't have time to help them. I got to get to church. I got to worship God. And the Son of God says, hey, look, God's point is that you help other people. That's the whole point. Get this. You know, thick skulls, hard hearts, whatever. Get it. Get it in there. God wants you to help other people. So someone shows up and he's broken. I'm going to help him. It's the Lord's Day. You can't do that. God's going to smite you. No, he is not. Did you not catch it? He desires mercy. God cares that he has broken through into your hard, sinful hearts and has softened them to the point to where you look at the needs of others and say, I can do good for you. I can help you. And God says, that's what God's looking for. He desires mercy, not sacrifice. Does he want you making sacrifices? Does he want you offering your spiritual gifts? Does he want you singing and praying and everything that we do for him? Absolutely. He is not lessening the one. He is just saying you forgot something. And it's the very heart of God. A willingness to step outside of yourself and do good for someone else. Hence, Jesus left his place in heaven and came down here. He left his comfort zone. He left his home. And he did good for all of us. And Jesus says, I'm from the Father. How do you know? Look at my life. Look at what I'm doing. I'm doing good for other people. I am helping other people. I am serving other people. I am healing other people. And I am feeding other people. And I am sharing the message of salvation with other people. Okay. Here's the last point on this story. Don't let your religion be a barrier to helping other people. May God never be the reason we avoid doing good for others. That's the point that Jesus is making. Don't put that on God. Oh, no, I can't do that for you because I've got to do this for God. Jesus says, no, God wants you to help them. Right? You remember the lesson? You remember the lesson where Jesus said, hey, you guys are really good at making all your tithes and writing your checks to church, but then if someone in your family needs some financial help, you say, oh, I would, but that check's for Jesus. Sorry. He says, no, that's wrong. Help other people. Help other people. It's a radical thought, right? It's a radical thought. Later in the chapter, turn the page. I'm down in verse 38. In verse 38, then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, teacher, we wish to see a sign from you. This is not a work. I mean, it's a subset of works. This is Simeon, okay? We want a sign. They didn't care about power, not even miraculous. Show us a sign. Show us something that's pointing to you. And his answer, of course, in verse 39, an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign. An evil and adulterous generation. Nasty people ask God to prove himself. Uh-oh. I've been a nasty person. Lord, I'm having a rough week. You're going to have to show up. Just show me something. Show me you're real. Show me you're you. Prove it. And Jesus says, no. God's got nothing left to prove. You've got a lot to prove. I've got a lot to prove. God doesn't have to prove anything. And it is only from an evil heart that you are still just looking up at God going, you better show up. I can't follow you if you don't give me a sign. So Jesus says, all right, you want a sign? Here's a sign. Here's your sign. You shouldn't laugh at that. Verse 40. For just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. Hey, guys, I just want you to know that you look for a sign. Here's your sign. You better pay attention. That after I die, I'm coming back. That's all the sign you get. And that's all the sign that you need. And if you don't believe that, if you don't believe in the resurrection from the dead, begun by Jesus Christ, guess what? You're going to get on Judgment Day, God's going to show up, and the people of Nineveh, the nasty people of Nineveh, are going to go, what are you people doing? You saw Jesus come back from the dead. They had awful lives. They were full of sin. Jonah just shows up and says, hey, God's not happy with how you're living. And guess what they all did? Uh-oh, we're sorry. We won't live like that anymore. And so that's what Jesus says. You're looking for a sign? If you're just asking for God to prove himself, you got all you need. You got all you need. So signs are not the most powerful thing. All right, let's turn back to John. Let's turn back to John. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse. Oh. Thanks, Matt, though. That's what I wanted. 19. John 3:19. I was hoping everybody would respond with 16. Now we're in 19. Look what he says in 19. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world. The people love the darkness rather than the light because their works, their deeds, their ergons. They were evil. For everyone who does wicked hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works, his ergon, should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. All right. This is the judgment. Light has come. Jesus says, I've shown up. I'm here. This is it. This is the light of God. This is the light of God. And people won't come to me. Why? Because their works are evil. They don't want to change. They don't want to change. But if you do change, if you do come to the light, if you live your life for God and you do the works that God has given you to do, then you are happy to be out in front of everyone. You are happy to say, hey, here's my life, look at it. You talk to people this week, I'm a Christian. You? Yeah, me. Well, where's your proof? Look at my life. I am changing your flat tire right now. Nobody else stopped to do that. That's the proof. Hey, I'm a Christian. I want you to know about Jesus. Really, where's your proof? It's the $5 I just gave you when you asked me because you hadn't had breakfast. There's the proof. My works are in the light. I'm not afraid to share them. I'm happy. I'm happy to give. I'm happy to share. I'm happy to help. I'm happy to do good things for other people. And Jesus says, that's the point. That's the point. Now, church, I get this. This is one of those that we just, yeah. We're good people. No. We're not good people. We're not good people, but we, since we have come to the light, get to share in the good works of God. He puts something in front of you good to do. I don't know. Do it! There's no more of these mental gymnastics of, oh, no, I must hurry off to do something for God. I cannot do good for you. Jesus says, you missed it. No. I can't give to you because there won't be enough for me. Jesus says, you missed it. I can't help you because you don't deserve God's help. And Jesus says, you missed it. God says, I desire mercy more than sacrifice. God is looking at our lives and he is just going to ask the question, did it make a difference? Because if the only difference is your schedule block on Sunday mornings, if that is the only difference, you missed it. If all it was I put on the right clothes and I showed up at the right time, at the right place, and I sang the songs and I even listened to Michael just kind of, you know, get a little carried away. I did all those things and I took the Lord's Supper. I'm good. I did everything God required of me. And Jesus says, you missed it. Because God is looking for all of that to change your heart in such a way that when you encounter other people, you say, how can I help you? How can I do good for you? Look at my works. That is the evidence of a changed life for us. For Jesus, it is the evidence that he is the Son of God, that he is truly doing the works that God has given him to do. Chris read for us in Ephesians chapter 2. And Ephesians chapter 2, the reason why we read that this morning is because in Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul points out the fact, and he used the word, I think three times there. He says, look, all of us at one time before Jesus, we were all doing the works of the evil one. That's what we did. When you're in the dark, when you're following the enemy, when you belong to Satan, you do what Satan does. Right? And again, you and I like say, I don't do what Satan does. I don't run around. No. It's not that. What is it? Well, if the works of God are showing mercy and doing good for other people, then the works of Satan are just, nah, I don't think I'm going to do any of that. You and I, we like to get cringy when we, you know, see the statues being built and the new ones this week, the monkey statues that are popping up. Yeah, I know, you'll go home and Google it. And you'll be, and you'll clutch your pearls because there's monkey statues coming up. And the newest ones have horns and bumps all over their body. And you're going to see this stuff and you're going to go, oh, the world's going to hell. But honestly, where the enemy is going to get you and me, because you and I recognize the statues and go, oh, that's not of God. The enemy is going to get you and I by saying, oh, that person that needs help. I'll just change lanes. Like he didn't give us the, what was the guy? Who was the guy in Luke's gospel? And all the people went to the other side of the street. What'd they call him? The what? Thank you. Yeah, that word. The Samaritan, your enemy. He's the only one that did what Jesus wanted him to do. Because all the holy people had other things to do. All the holy people could not become unclean to actually get in the dirt and pick somebody up and say, I need to help you. Jesus Christ is looking at you and I every single day and he is asking the question, are you willing to get your hands dirty? Because you and I love to sing about it. Woo, take my cross and follow him. You betcha. As long as it's polished and not too heavy and there's no chance of splinters and I can put it down right over here because I'm tired. Yeah, I'll take my cross and follow Jesus. All the way to church. Now, we're at church now. We don't have to carry our cross. Put it down. Oh, I'm at work now. I don't have to carry my cross. Put it down. Oh, this is just me and my house. This is just my peeps. These are my family. They know me. Put it down. As long as it's easy. Oh, yes. We'll show up and we've carried our cross for Jesus this week. And Jesus is going to look at us and say, did you get your hands dirty? Did you help the people that needed help around you? Or did you go to the other side of the street? Did you use me? Did you use God as an excuse not to be like God? Are you getting what I'm throwing down here? Because you and I are guilty of this. We are the same as the people that Jesus was talking to 2,000 years ago. We are guilty of this, using God as an excuse not to look like God. I'm sorry, I can't look like God for you. I'm too busy following God. That's what God's people had turned it into, and Jesus shows up and says, look, I'm from God. Just look at my life. Look at my life. Here's the evidence. It's right here. I help people. I feed people. I serve people. I mend the broken. I give people what they need. These are my works. This is what I do. It's my life. It's who I am. I do what the Father says to do. Church, it's that simple. If you want to know that Jesus really is the Son of God, just look at his life. If you and I, if there needs to be enough evidence to convict us of being a Christian on Judgment Day, we better get to work. Fair? Absolutely fair. Because all of us want the same thing. I mean, when Jesus comes back, we want him to look at us and go, hey, I know you. We've been working together for years. We do not want to have Jesus look at us and go, who are you? Who am I? But Jesus, I was baptized and I read my Bible and I sang the songs and I went to worship and I stayed away from all those things. Yeah, it's not ringing a bell. What do you mean it's not ringing a bell? Well, I was hungry. You didn't give me anything to eat. What? I was naked. You didn't give me any clothes to cover my shame. Well, when did we ever see? Well, Jesus, if we had known it was you. And what's the indictment? How you treated other people is how you treated me. Everything we do is for Jesus. Doesn't that take away they just don't appreciate it. Or, they may use it for evil things. Everything I do for Jesus. I do for Jesus. That's his work. So Ephesians chapter 2, we were under the power of the prince of the air, and the works that are being done by the sons of disobedience. And then he says there in verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 2, but we have been saved by faith. Again, this is the only time the works are not there. We're doing the works of the enemy. We are saved by our faith so that now we can do the works of God. The only part the works are not there are in salvation. We're doing works of the enemy. We're saved by faith. Now we can do works of God. It's a wonderful transformation. All that energy we gave in to serving the dark one, the evil one, the bad guy, Satan, the fallen one, all that energy we gave to him in our previous life, it's done. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He washed us clean. He made us whole. He gave us life. Now that we're alive, now we can do works of light. Now we can do the things that God has given us to do. Isn't that good news? Here's the bad news. We got to get out and do it. So I'm going to give you one more last thing. Last thing, and then we'll wrap it up. All right, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. It's short. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, church, something for you and I, okay? Because we're going to go out and we're going to go to school this week and we're going to have some people that just don't treat us very nice. And guess what Jesus wants us to do? Be nice to them anyway. But they're a jerk. Don't care. Doesn't matter. What do? We do what's right. We do what's right. And some of you that aren't kids, you're going to go to the office this week and you're going to have that person or those people and they're just going to say that thing, right? I know. I got called Mr. Rogers this week. Yeah, Mr. Rogers. It wasn't a compliment. I know. I have to wear a tie every day at the office. And you can ask Jerry. Bow ties are not as tight on your neck as a regular tie. They're just not. So I'm just mixing it up. Found some cheap bow ties. They're easy to tie and they're looser on the neck. And I had a video call. And a higher up said, looky here. not just when you're in school. People are making fun of you. Some people don't learn. Sometimes adults do it too. Right? And I have to respond like Jesus. Why? Because God desires mercy. Could I find something in their face to make fun of? Absolutely. Right? Sure I could. And if you don't think you have anything on your face that I can make fun of, see me afterwards. I'm real good. But I must show mercy. I can't come to church Sunday and not act like it Monday. That's what Jesus says. That's what God's looking for. Right? So, here's what I want you to take. Jesus humbled himself, and here's it. Back on verse 8, first word. What's the first word in Philippians? Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Sorry, 9. Therefore. Here's our motivation. Jesus humbled himself. Therefore, God did something great for him. Jesus was faithful all the way to the cross. Therefore, God lifted him up. Do not be afraid to humble yourself to serve other people because, therefore, God's going to take care of you. No doubt, no wavering, no question. No question. God takes care of your soul. God takes care of your eternal nature in heaven with him. What you got to take care of is showing mercy. Showing mercy. Now, no one walk away from this and say, oh, Michael said we don't have to go to church anymore. No, Michael did not. All right? No, but God desires mercy. All I got to do is be a good person. I don't have to go worship anymore. No. It's just understanding, church, what is important to God's heart, and that's actually looking like God. We're his family, right? Family looks like each other. Even if you're adopted, people can tell. People can tell. So we got to look like him this week. So the works that God has given Jesus to do, we look at those works, we see his life, we inspect it and say, that's from God. And as you and I go out this week, people need to look at our lives, hear our words, see our actions, experience our love and service and say, that's of God. Or at least, that's not normal. You're right. It's of God. So this morning, if you're not a Christian, we invite you to come and become one. And this morning, if you are a Christian, we invite you to be one. Because that's what God's looking for. All right? So if you need anything, if we can serve you in any way, let us know.